مرحبا، Welcome to episode 42 of Creative Scene. أنا إليان جبر، الهوست تبعكم، وهذا البودكاست إنتاج حصري لبوديو. رح نحكي اليوم عن الروتين، وأكيد هون دغري رح ننقسم مجموعتين. مجموعة بتلاقي إنه الروتين قاتل للإبداع، ومجموعة بتلاقي إنه الإبداع بيزدهر بالروتين، وأنا بنتمي لتاني مجموعة. سموها روتين، ديسبلين أو انضباط، بس أنا رأيي ومن خلال تجربتي الخاصة أنه الروتين نفعني كتير على صعيد شخصي بفهم مفهوم الوقت وين أنا بدي حط وقتي، وهالشي ما قدرت أعمله إلا من خلال الروتين. ما عم بقول أنه على كل العالم يمشي نفس النموذج، وإذا الروتين نفعني يعني رح ينفع كل العالم. رح أعطيكم مثل. أنا من كم سنة لورا كنت أقول أنه كتير عبالي أعمل إشياء بس ما عندي وقت، وأكيد طلعت غلطانة. يعني أنا مثلاً كان عبالي أقرأ بانتظام أكتر، عبالي أتعلم مديتيشن، أعمل رياضة بشكل يومي، ألعب بيانو، يعني لما ضل عدلكن كل شي عبالي أعمله أو أتعلمه، بس فهمتوا الفكرة. مع شغلي من 10 للـ6 ومن خلال الروتين قدرت أعمل كل شي اللي عديتلكن إياه، لأن الانضباط والانتظام حسستني فجأة أنه وقتي صار أطول وصار فيني أعمل كل الأشياء اللي بدي أعملها. مش معناتها أكيد أنه ما في بريك وما بقفي كم يوم، بس بعد فترة الروتين صار جزء كتير كبير من نهاري، وإذا قفيت شي نهار بكون ناطرة إلجع على الروتين. وحسيت كمان من خلال الروتين أنه صار في سبيس أو مساحة جديدة براسي للكرياتيفتي. وقت نكون بحاجة لنكون كرياتيف بحياتنا أو بشغلنا، الوقت هو مكون كتير أساسي، وحتى أنه يكون عنا وقت نفكر هو شيء كتير أساسي. كرمال هيك تنظيم الوقت والروتين فيكون عنده تأثير إيجابي على الكرياتيفتي تبعنا. ما بعرف إذا I'm making sense لألكن ولأي مجموعة أنتو بتنتموا. المجموعة الأولى بتقول أنه الكرياتيفتي بتنمى وين ما في predictability، وأنه العقل لازم يكون حر من كل النواحي ليقدر يبدع. وهنا بحس أنه هالمجموعة عم تنسى أنه الروتين بيعطينا مساحة أكبر، لأنه نظمنا وقتنا وأفكارنا وخففنا احتمالات أنه عقلنا يضيع بالأفكار أو بشو بدنا نعمل أو شو بدنا نلبس. وكرمال هيك مثلاً في كتير عالم بيلبسوا نفس التياب كل يوم، ومؤشرهم ستيف جوبز ومارك زوكربيرغ. عبالي أتوسع أكتر بالموضوع، ومعي اليوم ناديا جيلبرت. هاي ناديا، ويلكم تو كرياتيف سين.
هاي، مرحبا.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, it's really a pleasure to be here with you.
Same here. So before starting, رح تكون شوية الحلقة between Arabic and English. So can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah. مرحبا. اسمي ناديا. I am a Palestinian American based in the States. I am a visual artist. I am a chef and producer of my cooking show. I am a Reiki practitioner, teaching people about meditation and energy work, and also educating people about food and energy with food and how we can use our daily nourishment to support us in all parts of life, and how what we consume affects all parts of our life. And so my work hopes to tackle that in many different ways and from many different disciplines.
Cool. That's so cool. I love your profile. So as a first question, I get to have your take on routine. To which group do you belong? The people who say that routine kills creativity, or routine helps creativity thrive?
Second group, tiny group, honestly. بس كمان يعني بدي أقول إنه it's really about balance, and it's not creating routine that supports your creative work is not about shutting yourself in a box or conforming to something that works for other people but doesn't work for you, or, you know, creating rigidity that doesn't allow you to flow. It's quite the opposite. When we have structures and routines that we set up that are resonant with us, that work for us, بيخلي الكرياتيفيتي يعني يجي لحاله. It allows us to actually let our genius come through when we create space for ourselves to let it come through, because the world is full of chaos. Our lives are full of chaos and things are constantly changing, but we get to create, structures that support us. And that's really what routine is for any artist. And it looks very different from person to person as well.
Yeah, totally. لأنه في عالم بيقولوا أنه routine, you know, kills creativity. And their argument is always along the line of, you know, you need chaos to be able to be creative. But as you said, my structure or how I structure my day may not work for you or vice versa, but we need some sort of a structure. And I'm going to use this episode to somehow build the case of, you know, having a routine. And I hope you agree with that.
Oh, come on, يعني. The thing is, we don't have to go looking for chaos. We don't have to create chaos in our lives. It happens on its own, right? Hmm. Like we are constantly dealing with new stimuli coming in at us from all directions. And as artists, as creative people, we take that stimuli and we move it through us into a creative medium that is expressing something to others, that it's expressing something that others will hear and resonate with. And so we don't need to actually seek, we don't need to create the chaos, because it comes for us already. And if we are artists, if we are creative people in any way, or we consider ourselves creative individuals, then we are going to encounter that no matter what.
Yeah.
There's actually a book that I really, really love. Daily Rituals, Women at Work. It's by Mason Curry.
When I was researching this this episode, it came up, and في واحد, the one you mentioned is more towards women, وفي واحد more, you know, like general. So there's like two.
Well, فهو كتب أول واحد, and he included like no women in the book, and then everybody came at him and, you know, criticized him for not including female artists in this book. And so he came out with a second book, which is only about women, women artists. So there's two books here. بس يعني بحب كتير لأنه what it shows is all of these different, very rigorous routines that these women who, these artists in all different disciplines have a way that they go about their day and a way that they operate that is completely different, and it works for them and it allows them to create their genius. And I just love it. It's a wonderful resource to get inspired, actually.
Do you have like a specific example علق براسك when you're reading the book about like a specific ritual that's a bit eccentric?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's women who wake up extremely early and work from 4 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then for the rest of the day, they walk or they read or they eat lots of food or they party. There's some that they go into what they call a vortex, where they'll not work for a period of time. And then they'll go for 3 or 4 days of being locked inside, not seeing anyone, not eating. Like, it can be pretty intense. Like, but the thing is that everybody in this book has found a rhythm that allows them to create their genius work.
Yeah, I love this word, the rhythm. And it makes so much sense. Maybe it's a nicer word than routine. Routine has like a negative connotation. So when you say routine to someone, it's like you're going to get bored. But when we say rhythm, I really like, I will probably change the episode's name to Creative Rhythm. لأنه هيك فيها a bit of let's say personalized touch, and I have my own rhythm, بس إنه I don't want to call it routine. So I love this word. Okay. So
or rituals, rhythm and rituals, and it's very personal, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree. So Mark Guinness, and he's a creative coach. He's a poet too. بيقول إنه repeating the same routine every day, it's like we're self-hypnotizing ourselves. In that way, we'll be able to enter like some sort of a state of consciousness to be able to dig deeper and, you know, get in touch with our creativity. So my question is, what sort of routine or rituals do you have, and how do you feel it affects your creativity?
I love how he describes it as a self-hypnosis.
Yeah.
And no, it really is that. Like, any practice of a ritual or a rhythm that we create in our day is really hypnotizing our mind to be on a certain frequency when we go about our day. And so for me, it's very, very important to create space to be quiet with my mind and learn what it means and what it feels like to be quiet with my mind. For me, I meditate every morning, and I have a certain way that I like to meditate every morning. And sometimes it changes depending on how I'm feeling that morning. I do breath work and I meditate. I also take a cold shower first thing every morning. This is something that I could go on and on about. This has changed my mornings forever when I started doing it.
Cold showers? But
it starts off the day on just the most amazing note. This honestly could be a whole talk on its own, why cold showers can be beneficial to anyone.
I know there's an old guy who I forgot his name, but I think
Wim Hof.
Yeah. It's kind of scary.
It is. You know what? It is. It's actually it. In there's no getting around that. There's no way of saying like it. It is definitely something courageous. But what I love is that every day before I get in, I dry brush, I get ready to jump in, and I prepare myself to start my day with courage. Yani, with bravery and courage, and I tell myself that, and it's the most wonderful feeling. Like, what a great way to put that energy into your day first thing, right when you wake up.
Yeah. How cold, Nanda? How cold?
I take a cold shower, I meditate, and I really, for me, this is such an important part to taking me through the rest of my day, because I've created that space to listen to my body and where it is on this day, and actually have a relationship rather than beginning with a rush and disengaging with my body. For me, these rhythms are a way of really creating a dialogue with our bodies that make us feel supported in the work that we do. And that's really what these rhythms are about, yeah. I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I love the تنقيه الكلمات, you know, the words that you use, frequency and rhythm, and it says a lot about how you think about this stuff. And I think it has to do with the Reiki and the working with energy, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Thank you. Well, you know, I when I think about, here's what I believe about creativity. It's not something that we just reach in and grab at any time. Creativity is actually a state of consciousness and a frequency that we tune into. So when I believe that when we are creating something, it's not just us doing that work. It is being sourced from something outside of us that needs to flow through us. And we are vessels for creativity and inspiration to flow through us. And so we need to create a relationship and understand what it feels like to be in that frequency. And I'll make a little bit more sense there. You know, when you're feeling very, very inspired, like you're in flow, like you know exactly what to do next, and you're just in flow. You know, I think most people know what it feels like to be in flow.
Yeah.
It's as if it's like something else is doing the work, and you're not actually like having to think because the answers just come to you, right? Mm-hmm. This is what being in flow is. And so because of that, we actually need to create ways to tap into that and know what it means to be in that state. Because the opposite of that is, you know, when if we're uninspired or we feel like we can't create, but we're trying to force it, we're not in that state of flow. We're in a state of reaching for something as if we don't already have it and have the ability to tap into it. And so I think it's sort of changing our relationship to what it means to be in a creative state. Because once we realize it's not just on me to create these things, it's actually just something I'm tapping into. Well, how do I tap into that? How do I practice that? How do I support that for myself? Yeah. It becomes less about us needing to make something great and more about tapping into something greater that is going to inspire me and tell me what to do next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use another quote here to ease me into my next question. So W.H. Auden says, "A modern Stoic knows that the surest way to discipline passion is to discipline time. Decide what you want or ought to do during the day, then always do it at exactly the same moment every day, and passion will give you no trouble." So it feels like, you know, the state of flow you were just talking about. So my question to you is, you know, you have different disciplines you work in, like the Reiki, the cooking, the visual art. So how do you give time for each and every one of your passion?
I think this is something I am practicing and learning as we speak. You know, I think that it's something a lot of people need to figure out how they're able to do it. You know, for me, I like to have a very clear, I love to write lists. I love to visually look at everything that's on my plate because I always have so many things on my plate at the same time. That's just the life. So I like to have a list and really my meditation practice and my tuning into my body's desires and needs allows me to then look at that list and sit in my body and ask myself, what is the right thing to do today? What is right for me to give my energy to today? And generally it's what lights me up in that moment. It's what excites me in that moment. And doing that comes with trust, right? It's trust that everything is going to be done exactly as it's meant to be done. And if I follow what excites me in this moment, then I'm going to be able to click into that flow so easily. Because you know, when we try to do something when we feel totally uninspired, we try to force ourselves to create any sort of piece of work and we're not inspired. We're totally out of it. We're not going to do our best work. No. We're going to do our best work when we feel like what we're doing lights us up and excites us and gives us energy. And so I really try to follow that. And I feel I'm very lucky because I work for myself, so I'm able to really set those priorities. And so sometimes, you know, sometimes I do have to do something that I do not feel inspired to do on that day. But for the most part, the genius comes from following what is exciting you and following what really drives you in that moment. I also, you know, I love how when he says you pick something and you do it at the same time every day. I would love to say something on that if I might, because yeah. I think that there's something kind of interesting there too. And when we're in very specific patterns and we operate in our lives in a way that we've been used to for so long, right? It's very hard to shift our routines to do something different than what we were doing. We have these programs, we have these neural pathways in our brain that allow us to keep living life the way we're living it. But if you change one single thing about your day, if you, for instance, decided to stretch or meditate for 5 minutes every morning before you go work, or you decide to go on a walk or go on a run or whatever it is, that and you commit and you really commit to the consistency of that one thing, just one thing, it will change your relationship to your entire life. It only takes one tiny shift to be living in a different timeline than you were before. Because when you add something into your day that nourishes your energy and nourishes your creativity, and you commit to it, you are creating a whole new experience of your life from that one moment that you decided to change. And this seems like it's very, it's a very big thing to say, but it's so true. And I've seen it happen over and over again with people.
Yeah.
And it really feeds the entire creative process. And that is the way that you change your experience of life. It's with one tiny step and consistency.
Yeah, I totally agree. And now I really agree with what you're saying. I'm hearing a lot now people saying that they feel, you know, with all these lockdowns, they feel that they can't start their day properly. They can't go out of bed on time. They feel like they have to, you know, pull themselves out of bed every morning. They reach their desk where they're working every day just 2 minutes before, you know, starting the usual working day. And I always give them the same advice, because I've been trying to practice that for a while now. And it's, you know, waking up early. I know it's hard at first, but, you know, waking up at a specific time, not just right before, you know, starting to work, doing something you enjoy, whether, I don't know, maybe it's singing, I don't know. Exactly like you said, doing something every day and starting the day like you're in control of your day, not like you're pulling yourself out of something to do something else. And these transitions are not, I think the transitions between doing something then doing something else are important as well. You know, feeling like you're ready for this. And this is the state of mind that I'd like to enter every day with. You know, I'm ready for this day. I'm ready because I've done my meditation, and that applies for me. I know not everyone has to meditate or, you know, work out or whatever, but I know I'm ready because I start my day at 10 a.m. working, and I've been up like 3 hours before. I've worked out, done my meditation, read for half an hour. You know, I've done all the things that I know I want, I need the time to do them. Then I start my day at 10, already like prepared for the day, emotionally, physically, and, you know, I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that really is the benefit of creating rituals. I like that word. Rituals that really support you in your day, because, you know, and I'll use an example. My dad Abuy, he's now working from home. He hasn't, but he, you know, he usually is going into an office every morning, but he has been working from home since the pandemic. And since then, he started for a few months doing what you described, waking up very close to when he was going to work and then getting up and going straight to the desk. And there's no room for when we start our day in a rush, when we start our day in a rush, we carry that energy through the rest of our day.
Yeah.
And so now what he does now, and actually this is a part of our daily routine together, is that we'll get up and we'll go hike at sunrise. And we'll do this every day before he starts work.
Nice.
And having this space to do something that is for you, that brings you joy or just makes you feel supported by yourself, by the earth, you know, like it changes. I know that it changed my mornings and it changed his mornings dramatically. It made, it just makes the day, because we begin the day with this energy. We choose the way we want to begin our day, the energy we want to bring into our day. And, you know, it's not easy for everybody to hike or work out, or it doesn't even need to be any of these things. It's not easy for everybody to carve out a half hour or 45 minutes of time, but can you carve out 5 minutes, 10 minutes mm-hmm. to journal or to sit and listen to music or be quiet with your mind in any way? You know, yeah. Meditation is a very hot topic right now. And, you know, everybody's talking about different ways of doing it. And it feels very inaccessible to lots of people. And I'm here to tell you that there are so many different forms of meditation that look different than what you've seen. Mm-hmm. Meditation does not need to be sitting and breathing with quiet around you. It doesn't need to be that. Meditation can be singing. Meditation can be a repeated movement. It can be breath work. Breath work is incredibly powerful, and you can do it for 3 minutes and be in a completely different mind space. I believe that there is a form of meditating that will, and maybe that's not even the word we want to use, but a form that works for everyone. And what we do when we meditate is we create a new relationship and space with our mind. And that space we create allows us to, in those moments during the day, in those transitions between tasks, actually have sovereignty over our energy and where we put it mm-hmm. and where we put our attention, because our attention is the most valuable thing that we have in this day and age. Where are we putting our attention? And when we have a really good relationship with our mind and an understanding of the way that our attention works, then we can do our best work and we can be the most creative that we can be. Mm-hmm. And it takes allowing ourselves the space for that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just come by itself.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna quote you here. In your bio on your website, you say that your work is an approach to humanity's activation through art, healing spaces, and redefining our idea of nourishment. So can you tell us more about this statement? And how does art, healing spaces, and nourishment come together in your life?
Yes. So, you know, my work is really, it comes from a lot of different places. You know, I have a background in film. I've worked in the film industry for 7-8 years in camera. You know, I now produce a cooking show and I also have a Reiki practice. I do one-on-one mentorships, spiritual mentorships with folks. Mm-hmm. And really, all of it comes down to this idea that what we consume has the power to change our lives and the world around us. And when I say consume, it doesn't just mean what we eat, but what we see, what we ingest into our eyes, our ears, what we let into our mind space. And so what I hope to do through my work is create spaces where we can start to just recognize how infinite and powerful our minds and bodies are when they work together. Mm-hmm. And so this can come through creating a really healing and powerful relationship with our food and how we feed ourselves. This can be through creation of visual art that helps us to unlock a new perception in our brains, or almost helps us to remember how powerful and infinite we are. And through energy work, through Reiki, and the mentorships I offer are a combination of Reiki with a personalized daily practice and accountability. It's so for that, it's really learning to tune into and be aware of the energy field around us and moving through us, and how we can actually use that to make ourselves be the most optimized and fulfilled and embodied version of ourselves. And so all of these things for me really, really come together in tackling what does it mean to be fully embodied? What does it mean to be listening to your intuition? What does it mean to be tapped into your inner genius? And this is your inner genius being anybody's. All of us have deep, deep, deep wisdom within us. And we just need to create the space to tap into it. And this is what meditation does. This is what creating rhythms in our day does, because we're going to be constantly facing chaos and change and difficulties, challenges. How do we respond to those things? How do we relate to them? Do we see them as opportunities? Do we see them as chances for ourselves to ascend, to become more aware, to become more empowered? These are all of the different tools that we can use to access that. And by living a life that creates space for that, we can be our greatest and most embodied selves. And so that's really what my work aims to do. And activation to me means that awakening to our infinity and our power as individuals, and knowing that we are infinitely wise. All of us are.
Yeah.
And we have the power to tap into that.
I have one last question about the disciplines, you know, the Reiki, the cooking, and the film, and, you know, the visual art part. If you had to choose one, and which one do you feel that you're going to tap into your creativity on a deeper level?
To be honest, what I'm learning is that the strength of my work is coming through letting all of these be spotlit and let all of these things shine. All the parts of me that need to speak in this way kind of coming together. I will always have such a deep passion for filmmaking and for the power of film and the power of the visual media to just in a moment completely change your perspective and change your life. Like there's been so many films that have changed my life just on the first time I watched them. But also when it comes to Reiki, I mean, that's something that is, we're doing energy work all the time. Like we're all doing energy work all the time. We're just not aware of it, or we're not tapped into it and aware that we're doing it. And so I imagine a world where all of us are really just aware of the powerful energy field within us and around us, and how through our intention, through our energy and our awareness, we can actually change and influence the world. And it's pretty profound and pretty amazing. And so all to say, I don't really know if there's one thing that is the one thing that I would say feeds my creativity the most, because allowing myself to do all of these things, because they're all things that I'm great at and all things that are really aligned to me, has allowed me to be more creative, because I'm not putting myself in one box. And I just want to say, I hope that others allow themselves to do the same, because we've lived for a very long time where it's like we're told that we need to have one thing we do and one thing that we're good at, and that or else we're unfocused. I really don't believe in that. I think that just doesn't work in this world. We have so many gifts. We need to be able to offer all of them to the world.
Yeah, I agree. And what I loved about the sentence that I quoted from your website is like somehow, you know, you aligned art with the energy and the healing spaces and the idea of nourishment, the cooking side of your disciplines, let's say, into this bigger idea, which is humanity activation. I agree with you that now we have the luxury of tapping into our ourselves, our creativity, in different ways. But I think that being aligned with ourselves on, okay, we're doing a lot of things, but somehow they're all aligned into like some sort of a purpose or like a self, you know, again, I can't find another word than purpose. Somehow everything falls down under this idea and it all makes sense. I don't know if you agree.
I think so. I think I understand what you're saying. Yeah. No, I mean, I feel that way. I think that, you know, it's, we definitely need, we need to allow ourselves to focus in each moment on what is most important and what is calling us in that moment. And also we need to allow ourselves the freedom to explore and to express ourselves in different ways and discover our many gifts and strengths. For me, it's it. For me, that has been that has been doing, working with through all of these disciplines. But for me, again, they do feel like they really relate to each other and they go together. Mm. And you know, every day I'm discovering more and more what direction they're meant to go in. You know, I'm sort of feel like I'm just following what I'm being told to do, and that is. That is how I, that to me is how I know that I'm in a creative flow, when it doesn't feel like I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do with this? How does this make sense? What do I do next? And I'm just listening, just creating space to listen. And when we listen and we're able to get quiet and hear our intuition speak to us, then it's okay if we don't know the how and the why is not our business. A teacher of mine said, like, we envision what we want to create. We envision what inspires us. And we just start listening. How does that come about? What do I do next? We stop worrying about all the steps that it's going to take to get there. And just let it become what it's going to become.
Nice. Thank you, Kteer, Nadia, for joining me today. It was a pleasure discussing this topic with you, like, and going into different, you know, areas of it. إذا بدكم تفاصيل أكثر عن البودكاست، شوفوا الويب سايت creativescene.me وإنستغرام creativescenepodcast وشارت مع عالم that might like it. كان معكم إليان جابر، بشوفكم جمعة الجاي.